Happy new week, and I'm super excited to have a very familiar face next to me, my sister from another mother and father, but more importantly, an author of three books, a best-selling author. There they are. Thanks, sis. Follow Me, Shut Up and Build Your Network, Bums on Seats, which we actually co-authored together. We decided to write that book together probably the day we met when we didn't even know each other. And then Invisible to Invincible, which was the number one Amazon best-selling book. And a little sneaky secret, sis, or Francesca Moy, has told me that she is writing another book in a few months' time, but we'll hear about that a little bit later. So good morning, Francesca. It feels weird calling you Francesca.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. So good to be here.
I haven't interviewed you for such a long time, and it's really good sometimes to come back to authors that have been out there in the world doing their own thing and kind of to reflect back on how did the books play a pivotal part in the growth and all that kind of stuff. But before I get into all of that conversation, let's guys do the introduction, the official introduction. So Francesca's determination is infectious, and so is her personality, and actionable insights will captivate people who listen to her, which I do know. In less than 4 years, she grew a business from $120 to over $1.5 million in revenue. All right, she serves a community of over 450 entrepreneurs who support and transform alongside one another. The results her clients experience inside her sold out business academy speak volumes. So she's got proven strategies that take business owners from a one-to-one business model, which can be a really hard slog, right? Trading that time for money into a profitable and scalable business online and offline by following simple organic strategies. And that's one thing that I've known about Francesca is, you know, she's tapped into the paid ads world, but really her strength has been using organic strategies and building teams of virtual assistants. So she's impacting the world globally with her virtual assistant agency, matching time poor business owners with social media superstar trained in those exact strategies. So she's got like an agency where people come already trained. So Francesca is the perfect example of how a mindset can transform your business, continually growing to serve her clients at the highest level so that they can grow. Awesome.
So yes, amazing.
When I met you, which is now, I think it was 2015, 8 years ago, you really were at that very starting point. Yeah.
I just made, literally when we met in August 2015, I just made 100K in the business. And it was like, you know, 6 months. And I was like, oh my goodness, now what? So it was very, very, very beginning of the business. So what a journey has been.
Yeah, I know, because like I saw you like work super hard. You ran your own meetup events and just, you know, you were right at those early stages. And so then when we met and it was love at first sight, sisterly love, you know, you came along and did the full Ultimate 48 Alpha retreat at the November 2015 retreat, which was a lifetime ago also for me, like 8 years ago. And now we're about to do the 10th year of doing this. So tell me a little bit maybe about how have the books played a part in your business growth, and then we're going to talk about a little bit of what the book's about and your roller coaster world of being in business.
Well, it's so fascinating because when I met you and you said, oh my gosh, you're my sister from another mother, we should write a book together, I was like, oh my gosh, this woman is like super successful and she wants to write a book with me? No way. Like, I was like, I was terrified. I was like, no, it's not going to happen. And then you said, but before you write a book with me, you should have your own first book. And I was like, what am I going to talk about in the book? Like, I didn't think I was that successful to write a book yet. I didn't think that nobody would buy it. I didn't think that, even though like I had a following and already, and I had already momentum on my social media, I thought that write a book is only for successful people. I thought that write a book is only for people that have made it, and I didn't feel like I was there yet. So when you suggested that, I was freaking out, but then I did it. I came to your amazing retreat. Actually, this photo was taken at the retreat because it was all part of your amazing package at the time. And is incredible. Like when I look back at this photo, I remember that moment that we were trying to find people to make it look busy, and I was shy to ask someone, excuse me, you want to take a photo with us? It was so
And those
funny.
are literally your retreat buddies, the whole group, like kind of behind you.
Yeah, but at the back, there was the back room was like all the people from
The restaurant.
So funny. So anyway, this book was actually an incredible, like it was my proof. It's like I'm not just here talking about my success, it's in the book. And the moment that I got this book, it's like people started taking me seriously. It was like if before I was this crazy Italian lady being loud on social media, and then the moment that I had the book, I was like, I know what I'm talking about. Like it just everything changed. And you always say that it's not about writing the book, it's the person that you become on the other side of writing it. And it's so true, because I don't know if it's people that took me seriously, or maybe it was me that I took myself more
I think
seriously.
it's a bit of both. I felt the same way with my first book.
Yeah, you think? Yeah. Because it's like now you go like, okay, now I'm gonna. And then the first person that asked me to sign the book, I was like, wait, what? Like, people want my autograph in a book? Like, I still weird out when people ask me that. I'm like, come on, you don't want my signature in the book. Like, who cares? I always feel weird when they ask me for a signature.
And I love the fact that then you did the second book, which we did together within 5 months. Two books came out. What was the thinking? Why did you want to bring them out so fast?
I like to do things fast. I think that you know that. And I like the opportunity to like do it like a little. I always like challenges. So it's like, what would happen if I have two books? Like if I have is all the success is happening from one book, like people are literally taking me more seriously, business is increasing, people come to my workshop and they buy the book. Like it was so beautiful to have some product to give to people. So I was like, imagine what happened if I have a combo of books and I put them together with my workshop. So people would like come to my workshop, you get two books and the workshop. So it was just like the compound effect of doing that. But for me, fast is how I roll. I'm actually shocked that I haven't done a fourth book yet, but it's all the part of the roller coaster story. So when did I write this one? Was this 2019?
About 4 years ago, just probably pre-COVID, and that's where your business that you had was at its peak, which is
Yeah.
what we're going to talk about. You know what happened during COVID, and tell me about this roller coaster and how you've come out stronger.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that you bundled stuff, and that was so powerful because you could actually move a lot of books into people's hands to spend more time with you while they also then hung out at the workshops and did all that sort of stuff. So therefore, that's how your clients build trust, like know and trust. So I love that. So tell me about the breakdown and now the breakthrough.
So fascinating, because when I actually through the breakdown, the I stopped to talk about my books, because I felt like a fraud. I'm like, I've got books, but my business is going like that. So I felt like a fraud. But in hindsight, now that everything is sort of like done and dusted, it's good to think back. And the reason why the business went like this is because I chose to let it go like this. Because when COVID happened, I was working very hard, as you know. I was traveling a lot for business. I was always on the road. I was exhausted. Pretty much, I was running the business on adrenals fatigue. So I was like trying. I created my own treadmill. I couldn't get off it. I'm like, if I stop events, money stops. If I stop, doing national tours, everything stops. How am I gonna pay my team? How am I gonna pay my thing? So it's just like I created my own treadmill. So people like say you start a business because you want freedom and lifestyle, but I didn't create that. And probably because of some mistakes along the way, and maybe sometimes my willingness of doing things fast this time sort of bite me in the back, or maybe not, because maybe it's all meant to be. But the fact that I had a lot of staff members didn't help. The fact that I couldn't, my cash flow, I always had to work to be able to pay for those people. I didn't have that much money in the bank. And anyway, all of that happened. Then when COVID happened and the business, I was like worried about the business. I invested in two properties in 6 months. As you know, I do crazy things, right? So Which in hindsight, it was a great decision because these properties already have doubled in value, literally both of them. But not double, one of them didn't value double, but one did. So it's like, oh my gosh, like it was a great financial decision for the future, but in cash flow wise, it put me another, it was very hard. And so all of a sudden I found myself with literally no cash, with team members leaving because they saw that the business wasn't going that well. My passion for the business wasn't there anymore because now from being face to face with people, I had to move everything online. And it's quite exhausting, as you know, running a 3-day workshop online and by myself without any support because all my team in Australia left. So I was not enjoying it anymore. And this is where the roller coaster comes. It's like I was hanging on to it. I was like, but I can't leave this. I can't leave this. So I was doing it from the wrong place. I was running the business from a place of scarcity and I have to do it rather than from a place of, Jacinta say, oh my God, thank you so much. I needed to hear this. Beautiful. So it was just like running the business from the wrong place, from the place of scarcity, from a place of, it's like trying to fit in a square, a cube into a round hole. Like it was just like, I couldn't make it happen and I didn't know how to stop. I didn't know how to, I had to pay the bills if I stopped. So it was very hard to let that go. But then I started to look at signs and look what else could I do. And it was fascinating because when you start to wonder what else can I do, I started to realize all the bad thing about this business. I was started to notice that I created a business that always needed new clients. It was not much return in business. Like once people have learned the strategy and they implemented it, off they go, right? Which is fair enough. And so I felt like I couldn't really keep them in the loop and keep them. And you know how they say that usually, like you can the more 80% of the business come from 20% of your clients. It wasn't the truth for me anymore because I didn't have the momentum anymore. So it was getting really hard for me to keep believing that I had to find 150 new people every year to maintain the business. And it would freak me out. Like even that number, I would just freak out. Instead, in the past, I would get excited, right? From the same situation, be like, yay, 150 is so easy. It's only 10 a month. Like I was so positive, right? In that moment, like 150, I felt like it was like a brick on my head. Like I can't do this. So I was like, okay, I want to find a business. I want to look for a business that is going to be able to serve a smaller amount of people, but for long term. And so that's when I started to hear other people asking me about virtual assistants. And a lot of people said, can I get a virtual assistant without being in your academy? And I didn't believe that that was the best for the client. So I never offered that as a service. And then I decided that, you know what, it's not what I think is best, it's what they need. They want a virtual assistant. I can train the virtual assistant in my strategies and I can make it happen. So I created this brand new business from literally zero. And I purposely sort of slowed down this other business. I didn't really focus on sales. I just maintained the clients that I had. I look after the clients. I deliver to the clients that I had, but I didn't really sell that business. So that business literally went down very quick. And then on this other side, we created a brand new business, and it's been an incredible journey. In literally 9 months, we are at 800,000, which is crazy, like crazy. So if things continue this way, we should be at 1 million by June, by July, by the end of financial year. So in the first financial year, reach $1 million business, and that is because of all the credibility. That is because of the books. That is because my following is because, and all of these play part of it. Like if I didn't have the foundational stuff that I did in the first 9 years, in nearly 9 years in business, I wouldn't have then what I have on this side.
You wouldn't have realized and got to that point because I often say, what do other people see in you that they want for themselves?
Yeah.
And what people were seeing in you is you smashing it and growing a seven-figure business with hardly any Facebook ads.
Yeah.
They're supporting you, but really where you were saying where we're getting our people, bums on seats, because the book Francesca and I wrote, Bums on Seats, was about filling events and more it was the offline formula because obviously we hadn't gone through COVID back then. And her strategies were always so successful organically. And that's the stuff that she teaches into the Sold Out Business Academy. But now, why do it yourself? Because re really, it kind of evolved. You don't need to do this all yourself, which is what you teach people who are just starting out, you know, but you also encourage, which you also encouraged me to get a virtual assistant. You pushed me into getting my virtual assistant 6 months within knowing each other. And I've now had that virtual assistant, which everyone knows, Lendi, for the last 7.5 years. And she's helped my business grow so significantly. So if you got anything by me, don't wait until you've written systems. Just get one. And with Francesca's support, you actually provide trained virtual assistants in your systems. Is that right?
Because I believe that this is the biggest thing that people say, like, I don't have time to train someone. I don't have time to create systems. And so we train virtual assistant on how to get into someone's business and create the systems as they learn the tasks and they learn the strategies. So that will create a little bit of like a SOPs for businesses that usually most businesses don't have. So it's important to have that help. Like I remember sometimes I was wondering if I was lazy. Because I remember like you being a machine, like you'd be like finish an event and you'd be like, you know, inserting things and doing things. And I'd be like on Facebook doing stories and I'm like, I wouldn't do anything. And I was like feeling guilty. I was like, maybe I'm lazy. Maybe I should be doing stuff. Like, but you know, it's such an important thing because I have noticed that I am the delegation queen. Like I think I went from being the meetup queen to being the delegation queen because I am quite lazy. Like, I don't like to do things that I don't need to do. If I can pass it along, I prefer that. But then during COVID, it proved that if I have to, I can go back at doing everything I need to do. Like, I even got to the point, remember, that I had a chef.
I know you've a cleaner and chef and all that got to the point where you outsource, but give me the story behind the shift, you know, because you were very cash flow challenged when you had local team members. Currently your whole team is
The Philippines.
in the Philippines. Yeah.
Yeah.
How
My
does
whole team.
that change the business?
Okay, so I was terrified, right? Because I had this belief, especially like before COVID. I had people telling me, like, why don't you just let your team go? And I was like, because like some things virtual assistant can't do. Like you can't, you know, the operation manager, the, you know, customer service, people want people here. Like, you know, my clients will expect someone in Australia to call them or to look after them. And I can't do a virtual assistant. I can't just have all these limiting beliefs. And when literally in February 2022, my last two staff member quit 1 week before my conference. I was just like in tears. I was like, I'm ruined. I'm done forever. Like, I'm never going to be able to run a conference without them. Like, I was terrified. And what I found is that for events like this, I can just hire someone, and there's highly qualified people that can just come and just help you for an event. We have a conference in 2 weeks, and I've got plenty of crew that are just like coming and never work with me. So we'll be fine. And my VA started to put their hand up and go, like, I can do the operational stuff. I'm like, what you mean? Like, what? Like, yeah, I can just create a spreadsheet and, you know, make sure that we all the people that need to owe us money, like it's all in there, you know, who is who and blah, blah. So they started to like organize all, one person took all the operation. Literally, my operation manager in the Philippines. And then one person was like, I can check in with the clients. Like, it's fine. I've been doing that pretty much. The only thing is that the person in Australia sent the message, but I've been creating it. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. And so one of my VAs is it actually gets a better response from, her messaging than what the person here used to do. So I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. So my virtual team has taken all the tasks. I don't have to hire someone here. I don't need someone here. I have someone for 10 hours a week in the customer service to, you know, call clients when they are joining in. But to be honest, it's not even something I do it because I love that person. I don't want to fire her, and I want to keep her because she's good value to the business. But could we pass that to a virtual assistant? Absolutely.
Yeah, amazing. I've noticed that as well, actually, the last couple of years, the more tasks, I think also the more experienced or because you've had some of your virtual assistants for a while, haven't you? They really know you well.
7 years, yeah.
Right. Yeah, they really know you well. They know the business. They get confident in the business as they stay on and on and on. And
Yeah.
that's what I found. I mean, Lindy often speaks to people, you know, personally or guides them or answers questions. She does a lot of customer service, which she didn't in the early years, and that's cool. Like
And
I've
sometimes they don't do it at the beginning because we don't trust them. Right? I don't know you, but for me, it was like a bug. I was afraid that what if they make a mistake with a high-paying client? Like, I was a control freak and I didn't want to let it go. But then, if we train them, like, I teach people, like, okay, so if you know that they need to talk to clients, like, create an FAQ, like, I call it a quick reply spreadsheet. So it's like, okay, when people ask this question, these are the three different ways that you can reply to them. When people ask this question, these are the three ways that you can direct them to this page or to that page or to this course or to this video. And so we have created like a spreadsheet with all the different potential replies. So all they need to do is to copy, paste, tweak a couple of words, and send it.
I love that. And I think they're even smart enough to create their own replies because they're always very respectful, I find, and
Yeah.
they use great language, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, keeps everyone calm, you know. If there are, you know, some more challenging questions that come their way. So it's amazing. So what would you be your best advice for someone who's in business? When is the right time to hire? Via immediately, or do you need to make some money before you do so? Because some people will say, I don't have the money to pay myself, you know.
Yeah.
What would you say to that? Because that was my process and fear around getting a virtual assistant is I'm responsible for me, and Stuart was in the business first after me, so we got to kind of put a roof over our heads. And to know that I was responsible for regular income for someone else, that's scary for a person who's never hired.
Yeah.
What would you say?
I 1,000,000% don't suggest to have a virtual assistant if your business is not making money yet. Like, definitely we need to have an income. We need to have a consistent income. But I don't believe that we need to have millions of dollars to do that. And I'm a t risk taker. I believe that if I know how to make some money, if I know how to sell, and my problem is I need more hand on deck. Like, I know that if I had double the time, I would have double the business because I would be able to have more leads, more sales calls, more everything. So I'm like, okay, how if I'm at that point that I'm like, okay, yeah, if I knew for sure that I had double the leads, I will make more money, then that's when you know you need to get a virtual assistant. But if the problem of the business is I can't get any clients, then no, like the VAs is not gonna do a miracle and find you clients. The VA will never find you clients. The VA will find you leads, and then it's up to us to convert those leads into clients. So if you don't know how to convert a lead into a client, we shouldn't get a VA yet. We should get a course where they teach you how to do this. Like, it could be an academy, it could be a one-on-one coach, whatever that is. Find someone that can teach you how to do that, and then once you know how to make money, then the VA will be able to expand. It's like when people say, money doesn't make a person bad, just enhance who they are. That's exactly like a VA. A VA doesn't make your business grow, they will just enhance it. So if your business is already making money, they can expand that. But if your business is not, then no, it's not a time.
You need to learn how to have a enticing offer,
Yeah.
be able to sell it, and
Yeah.
prove that a number of times so that
Yes.
you know what the system is, so that if a lead does come drop into your lap from a virtual assistant, you know the steps you need to take that to convert it into a business.
Absolutely, 1,000,000%. And if we don't know that, then it's pointless because the virtual assistant then is also gonna feel like not useful, right? It's gonna feel they don't know what to do. I had someone that got a virtual assistant, and I said to them it wasn't they weren't already, and they said, "Oh no, I still want a virtual assistant." I'm like, "Okay, well, it's your choice." So they got a virtual assistant, and the virtual assistant actually got them. They sold four, literally in like 2 months they were together. They sold four courses at $297, and I said, that is great result. Like, selling to a non-existing audience in your social media from just 2 months of posting, four people that bought 297, it's huge. Like, it's actually a huge benefit. But then this person said, yeah, but then these people didn't convert to the next level. I was like, but yeah, but that's not the VA fault. Like, the VA got you four clients at $297 each. That's
Massive.
huge, right? Huge, not having a following. And right, and if you don't convert to the next level, then again, this is why we're not ready to get a VA. But a VA can do consistent on social media can do such an amazing miracle for the businesses, right?
I love it. I love it. All right, so what's the next book about? The next journey, is it, or what is it?
Well, I've actually wanted to chat with you as the new financial year arrives. I wanted to chat with you because I've got this idea and I want to see what you think about. So I wanted to start write a business a book with my VAs. So I didn't know if I was going to do like I do one chapter and then one of them do another chapter, and then I'll do a chapter and then one of them do another chapter on like the same story, but for my version and for their version. So it's like, yeah.
Well, you know, I wrote the book with my VA,
Yeah.
and we did write the 12 chapters, and we put the business owner's perspective and then the VA's perspective from it.
Right.
I mean, so you could do that. I think that would probably be better, because otherwise, how would you split it? Or do you split it into two parts? You know, part one to six could be from what do business owners need to know, what's important, all that kind of stuff, and the other six chapters being, you know, the virtual assistants writing their, you know, area of expertise. I thought.
I was reading a book not long ago. It wasn't about business or anything at all, but it was written by, it was a love story, and it was like her side and then his side, and then like the story continue, but it was one of each side. So I thought I have to do something like, you know, that when I hired a virtual assistant, this was my first, you know, year with her, and then she will go through with the second year, and then like the third year I'll do it, and then the fourth year the other person does it, like, and just continue on that. But I don't know. So it's gonna be about hiring a virtual assistant, delegating, you know.
I think if you will check out what Lindy and I did in ours, because I know yours is going to be different because you've kind of grown a network of virtual assistants, as well as you've had a bigger virtual assistant team alongside
Yeah.
your business. I've only ever had one, right?
Yeah.
So have a look and, you know, get some ideas from that. But Stuart and I also wrote a book, Guilt-Free Parents, which was written from her side and his side, and it was about our parenting and our relationship. So yeah, so I've done it when I've caught, like, unlike with you with Bums on Seats, I think we wrote our own chapters, which is, they're the two options, either write your own chapters or, you know, and we actually with Stuart never saw each other's writing until the book was published. We actually didn't read each other's perspective because we didn't want to be influenced about what we're going to say on the same topic. So it was quite interesting doing it that way. But for yours, of course, I would say read it, you know. But for us, it was like a relationship, and we didn't want, like, it wasn't like really a big deal if something didn't gel together. So there you go. So how was the support? So how did you, like, obviously you did the program once, and the second, the next two books were done through publishing only and all that sort of stuff. What did you feel was faster? Because actually, what we've been doing lately is anyone who's been at a retreat before, and this also applies to you, they can come again as long as they purchase their publishing package. They can do the whole program without paying for the retreat. So tell these guys what it's like just being alone in publishing versus doing the program fully and completely.
Oh, look, I am a machine, and I was surprised that I just did the publishing for this book, and it took me, what, a year to write it?
Probably more. I would say
More?
18 months from the time you actually started paying for it, because I said, where's the book? Where's the book? And the book was not coming for a long time.
Yeah. And I did what you kept saying that people do, is like, I was, every time I go back and pick it up, okay, let's keep going, I didn't resonate with the chapter that I wrote before.
It
So
was too long ago.
I had to start again, and it was just so annoying. I was like, oh gosh, I'm gonna like, so I was not, yeah, I didn't do a great job with this one. And also, like, it was obviously a pandemic was going on, and you know, all the things. But I think that is the reason, is like, when you come to your retreat, you just, I did my whole book, the Follow Me, I spoke it out at the retreat, all of it.
In the 48 hours, and it was out.
Yeah.
I mean, those two books, Bums on Seats and Follow Me, they came out in 5 months.
Yeah.
From the time you came to the original retreat in November, by April that following year, you had two books next to your name. So this is what I say to people: publishing only, it's not the solution. You need the accountability, the group, the support,
Yeah.
the timelining. And if you stick to that, the books come out really fast. Even though you've been through this process before, your third book took a lot longer. And so my
Yeah.
advice would be is, you know, if you are going to do it, you got come along to the August or the November retreat. Actually, this week is retreat week. We're running our May retreat this week. 25
Yeah.
people are going to be writing their books. And actually, part of those 25 people, probably I would say 10 of them, are writing second and third books now. So they've been reinvited, and they're going to do it properly so they can get it out there a lot faster.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, so there you go. The offer is there. So where can people get the books? I have got up later.
Dee is gonna put the link in here of my website.
And I've got the website here, you guys. So the website is empoweringevents.com.au. You can see here, and you can read up about the virtual assistant side of the business, the conference that Francesca's got coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
If you're in Brisbane, definitely worthwhile going along, networking, learning from experts and all that sort of stuff. I was going to be speaking at it, but I'm staying in Melbourne for until I go to June. And also, if you go to the products tab of the website, there's all the different books. So you can go, oops, if I go follow me, shut up and build your network, there is one, then there's Bums on Seats. And the last one, of course, Invisible to Invincible. Before we add on the next one to this, but you're definitely writing, seeing as this a business model is brand new, it is a great idea to have the supporting book of the strategies that you can share with other people. Because I think you had a goal to get it up to 50 clients in your...
We had a 42.
42, right? And as you say, because 50 clients meant $1 million business, right? Yep. Yeah, so well done on all of the amazing success. You know, I've seen you. I mean, I've seen the roller coaster over the last 8 years, and we've had conversations around it. But one thing I know is you have that rock solid resilience that you never give up. There's always a solution.
It's always a way.
So I always like find solutions very quickly. Like a brain just like works in a way that, okay, we can't do it this way. And I remember also you being. I have played a pivotal part for me hiring my virtual assistant, but also a pivotal part where you kept pushing me to go with my model online before COVID. Okay, so no, this is never going to work online. So again, those limiting beliefs. And it was my business that actually was able to thrive online.
You did amazing.
Yeah, so, and now.
But that's because of your resilience and your stubbornness, and you just went for it, right? Instead, I was like, I didn't like it anymore, right? So interesting.
Yeah, and you got tired and you had life changes in other ways happen in that period. So it was like a real, like, as I say, we are going to have rock bottom moments in our lives, even if we've climbed a level of success of seven figure splice in business, all that sort of stuff, it's going to shift and change. And it's more like, how do we dust ourselves off, get up and rebuild and all that. So thank you, sis, for joining me today. Thank you also, she'll be post, you know, what is it? How to double your business with a VA for my members into my community this week. And we'll be seeing you also at Bums and Seats Masterclass as well. So lots of value. Thank you for bringing it always back to the community and sharing with others.
I love your community, sis. So beautiful. Yeah. So many people still around you because it's a reflection of you.
Oh, thank you. All right. Have an amazing day, everybody. And go and smash it out. Bye, guys.
Thank you.